here with you today than I was the last time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many feels the Holy Ghost in this house today? How many would like to feel more of the Holy Ghost in this house today? Amen. I give honor to Pastor and Sister Sandy, Bishop Sandy. And I was thinking of them last night, praying for them. And this just was an overwhelming thought. Brother and Sister Sandy, it's just the way it is. They epitomize true Christianity in every way. And I thank God for them today. Aren't you thankful for your pastor, Sister Sandy? He is a true Christian gentleman, and she is a woman of faith and of God. And Sister Sandy, I felt it a while ago. I'm going to say it publicly, just interjected here. I believe the Lord's touching you today, this very day. In Jesus' name, we receive it. God is good, isn't He? Could we lift our hands and just thank Him for His presence that He has graced us with today. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence. Hallelujah to God. We love You today, and we thank You for mercy and grace. We thank You for love, Your love, the unfeigned love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love You today, Lord. We love You today. We thank You for Your presence. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. There's supposed to be a change in me. Let me try that again. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. There ought to be a change in me. Turn back to Him and say, there ought to be a change in you. We serve a life-changing God today. That's the God we've been praising today. How many believes that? That's the God we've been worshiping to this morning today. It's a life-changing God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's indeed a privilege and an honor to be back here and to stand in this great desk. Again, I give honor to Brother and Sister Sandy, to this church, and to all of our sweet guests and visitors. Thank you. I, along with the leadership of this church, welcome you to this Sunday morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, Sunday morning live. Coming to you from Heritage Christian Life Center, live. Isn't that right? I have a word from the Lord this morning, and I told Brother Daniels, I leaned over to him, and I said, I've got one page of notes. I says, I don't know how far I'm going to get. And he just paused, looked at me, and said, probably about an hour. I'm not going to try to hold you very long today. And is Dale still open around here? Second Corinthians chapter 7. Was it something I said? Say something for me. And Brother Sam. Second Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1. This scripture the last month has revolutionized my life. I have had the privilege. I come in today from Florida. The last couple of weeks I've been in Florida preaching, and God has moved there. And then just prior to that, for 6 weeks I was in Houston with McLean's, and we've had a move of God there. But for the last 4 or 5 weeks, this one scripture has revolutionized my thinking, my mind, my heart, my life. And I trust it will do the same for you today. And I feel this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 simply says this: having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse. Notice it doesn't say, God cleanse me. No, He cleanses us. But just to interject that very quickly, there are some things that only God can do, but there's some things that we should do. And we want to leave it all up to God. You fix everything, God. You do everything, God. And I want to say this very quickly this morning, and I know we're reading the text, but this was a revelation to me, and I've discussed this with a couple of elders, and we're right on it. Speaking in tongues is not the Holy Ghost. Now that I've got everybody's attention, it's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. The question that I am so often asked or we visit is, well, I came to church, preacher, and I spoke in tongues, and I'm just as confused as I was before I came to church and spoke in tongues, because people have allowed tongues to be the apex of their walk with God. To think that I can talk, and that's why someone can talk in tongues and almost in the same breath turn around and start talking about somebody or lying on somebody. I'll go a step further. I don't mean to be too brash this morning, but that's why somebody can talk in tongues and a couple of moments later can start cussing a little bit. Are any real folks here today know what I'm talking about? Maybe we're related to somebody like that. They're not here. Oh, I just felt my help. I got the right word this morning. Somebody said, oh God, the preacher from Louisiana's back. A little short stuff. What has he got up his sleeve today? Well, it's not a whole lot. It's my short sleeve. But what I got. But see, that's why people talk in tongues and they never get past. Here it is. Speaking in tongues is the evidence of the power of God, of the Spirit of God. It's just the initial sign that I've received an entrance to the power and a connection that is available and accessible to me to overcome. But here it is, prayer and the Word of God. It's not enough just to come to church. Same difference. It's not enough just to speak in tongues. Oh, we believe in tongues. Paul Tarsus, Saul Tarsus, he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. But what I'm after today is the power behind those tongues. We have way too many, and I'm taking a little time here, please forgive me, but we have way too many apostolics today and Pentecostals today that are in a state of confusion because, well, I can just come to church and just talk in tongues and everything will be all right. That's not true altogether. It's crying out to God in prayer and saying, I want the very nature of God. I want your power manifested in my life. You got to go beyond just that. And I know I'm delving in an area that on the initial cuff, so to speak, could be contested a little bit. But I'm telling you, here's what I'm trying to say. I'm in search of overcoming power today. I don't want to just be a Pentecostal theoretically in name only. I want the power of God in my life, giving me the endowment to overcome everything that would come against me, that would prevent me from being less than victorious. Can I get a hearty amen? And so he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, he said, there's some things that you need to do. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's some things that God wants you to do. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse. Someone help me read it together aloud. Shall we? Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. My subject this morning, I'm going to go ahead and give it to you, and I'm going to read from the text while you're seated. But I'm going to go ahead and give you my subject this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say this. Say, in defense of the prodigal son. In defense of the prodigal son. You may be seated in Jesus' name. If you, while you're seated, quickly turn with me. And I know we've been standing and we reverence the Word of God. But in Luke, if you will quickly turn with me, just for reference sake. And Luke chapter 15 and verse number 24. And just for reference sake, just to go back in memory's sake, to look at this Scripture once again. And just refresh our understanding of what's going on here. And then we'll get into it, if that's all right. Luke chapter 15, verse 24. If you've got it, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, for this, I love this. I have visited this again yesterday while I was studying in the hotel room. And this, I don't know, it just, Brother Sandy, it just reignited something inside of me all over again. For this, my son was dead. Somebody say, was dead. And is alive again. We could stop there and preach all day long. That's enough to shout about. We had a son, Brother Jimmy, he's dead, but he's alive again. Everybody say again. Sounds like revival to me. Sounds like grounds for excitability there. It sounds like grounds for someone to rejoice and celebrate all right there all by itself. My son was dead, but is alive again. Somebody shout hallelujah. Then he further goes on and clarifies it. He said he was lost. Was, past tense, was lost. And is found. And they began to be merry. They began to rejoice. They began to get excited and celebrate. Now, his elder son was in the field. Say the elder son. Turn it up and say, preacher's going to preach about the elder son. Turn it up and say, he's sitting right next to you. God, I feel my help this morning. We're not running the aisles yet, but I feel my help. Give me that hallelujah again, sister. Woo! Now the elder son. His elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Now, I don't know about you, but there's one thing to hear music, but it's an entirely different thing to hear dancing. Now, some of you ex-clubbers from square dancing to juking and jiving. The Scripture said that they heard music and heard dancing. Now, I'm not all that sharp, and I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I can hear music, But common sense kind of tells me if you can hear dancing, that means they're throwing down and having a party. mean, there's one thing when you, I'm going to say it again, you can hear music, boom, boom, boom. But when you hear dancing, somebody is throwing down and getting excited and having a hoedown celebration of something sort's going on there. Now, is anybody with me this morning? Does any of that make sense? I just thought I'd bring that out a little bit. I just kind of thought about it. It's right there. They heard music and heard dancing. Verse 26, and he called one of the servants. Who called? The elder son. Called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Right there, they missed a great opportunity to put this in the Scriptures. A great big all in caps. Duh. As if. What are you talking about? What these things mean? What are you talking about? The music and the dancing. What's going on? Isn't it pretty obvious? And he said unto him, the servant said, one of the servants said unto him, thy brother, not your cousin, your brother, not just your friend, but your brother, someone that you are going to be forever connected to. No matter what you think or what you do. Let me just say this right now. Brother Jimmy, there's some parts of the country I talk with people and they have what they call, I don't know if y'all have them in Mississippi, but they're called family reunions. And it's amazing when you go to a family reunion that there are certain family members. Everybody's smiling real big. What's she going to say? There's certain family members you just like, oh, it's so good to see you. And then there's others like, and right there you battle this one word called hypocrisy. Oh God, I'm getting too close right now. God bless you. Y'all dismissed. See you tonight. I've got some looks on faces right now. It's like, where in this world is that preacher going? I'm preaching right. Turn to him and say, he's preaching right now. You don't even realize it. Your brother's your brother. Your sister's your sister. Your mother's your mother. Your father's your father. Your son's your son. Your daughter's your daughter. There's just some people, it don't matter where you go in this world or how long you live, you're going to be connected to them. And you'll never be able to get away from it. And so he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father, thy father hath killed the fatted calf. Thank God it was a fatted calf. Memphis barbecue, here we come. Slaw, barbecue sauce. That doesn't sound too bad, does it? Father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him. Here it is. There's a celebration going on because the Father hath received him. Our dad, your dad, has received him safe and sound. Safe and sound. That means that he was in danger of not being safe. He was in some situations that were very risky and unsafe. But Father, your Father, has received him back to the house, back home, safe and in his right mind. That's a miracle all by itself. Because there is no guarantee that anybody will make it back once they leave the house. It's no guarantee that anybody will make it back safe and sound. So the servant just simply, we're just talking about it right now, the servant just simply going through this dissertation, and he's kind of giving this explanation of as to why you're asking the question, why is there music and why is there dancing and why is there a celebratory situation going on? Why is there excitability in the house and around the house? Why is there festivities going on? Why is there barbecue and why is there... Because your father has received him safe and sound. And here it is, verse 28. And he, who is the he? The elder son. He wasn't just annoyed by it. He wasn't just slightly aggravated by it. But the Bible says that he was indeed, in fact, he was angry. Now I know that of all the times that we have read this text and we have looked at this, I challenge you one more time to open up your spirit, your mind, your heart, because number one, the Word of God is a wellspring. It is an untapped resource. Just when we think we have capped it and all of Revelation is squeezed out of it, there is yet more. And this Scripture has baffled me. And I want to pose this right now. I want to introduce this to you afresh and anew. And this is something that I just don't, Brother Sandy, quite understand, that there is every reason for anybody in their right mind, anybody in a sound mind, thinking clearly now, there is reason for anybody to want to join in the celebration over somebody that was dead but is alive again. Someone that was lost but that is found. I mean, if we have somebody hiking out in the woods or of Colorado somewhere in the mountains and they're gone missing for 7 days and all of a sudden they are rescued and they're found, everybody and everybody everywhere would lift up their hands and shout and say, "This is awesome. They was lost but now they're found," but not this guy. And he's his own brother. His own brother. His own brother. If I say it's his own brother. The Bible says he was angry. Not only was he angry. Well, I feel an old-time preacher man's spirit coming on me right now. Not only was he angry, but the Bible says that he would not go in. May I present to you today, and I'm fixing to preach just a little bit about it right here this morning, but one of the greatest issues that the Pentecostal Apostolic Church of today is dealing with is we've got an attitude problem in the church. But it's right. Turn to him and say, "He might be preaching to you and me." Apparently, there was an attitude going on with this guy. Now, wait. Let me retract that. I realize that there's no one in South Haven today. There's no one at Heritage today that's dealing with an attitude situation. I know no one in here cops an attitude about anything, really. You're just even keel about everything. You just go with the flow. There's nothing that really upsets you. You're just fine. And it, no matter what happens, whether it's high, whether it's low, it's okay. By the looks of some of you, it's like Just hear me out. You'd like to say something to the preacher right now. Hallelujah. I mean, Brother Sandy, correct me if I'm wrong, Bishop, but this scripture is exhibiting that this man, this brother, this elder brother, this elder son is exhibiting, he's just copping an attitude all of a sudden. Or is it all of a sudden? Or could it be this, that all the while that this elder son has been fuming and something has been festering on the inside of him? Because here's the deal, no one backslides or no one loses out with God overnight. It's a boiling point. It's a mounting situation of a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of the other. And over time, you ever seen people that just over time, all of a sudden, does anybody know anybody in your lifetime that all of a sudden somebody that out of the blue, it seemed to be out of their character and out of their nature, it just seemed like all of a sudden they just kind of boom, they just burst out and just had this fuming fit. No, there's nobody here today that's ever done that. Not in this house today. You're related to somebody that has. Oh God, he's preaching right now, and some of it don't even know it. I'm not going in. Let me finish. Let me read it right fast because I got to hurry. He says, I'm not going in. I'm not going to enter in. He was angry. He would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, just like little children. Baby, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? But remember, only little children do that. We're grown up. Children. Bless God, I tell you. Oh, I'm fixing to preach. Baby, what's wrong, son? What's wrong, man? What's wrong? He answered, he said to his father, lo, because ain't nothing high about the situation in his eyes right now. I just thought I'd say it like that. But the Bible does say, lo, he said, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid. If all you wanted was a goat, it's amazing to me how some people were skirt around everything. I mean, they will skirt around every truest issue. They will say everything and you pull out every excuse and they're not even talking about what they're really wanting to talk about. And he says, you ain't never gave me a goat. That's what he said. You've never given me a goat. You know what? If I was a father, I would want to look at it. Of course, he didn't say this, but if I'm sure maybe the father thought this. Come on now, let's think realistically here. It's in the Scripture. It's implied in the Scriptures that if all you want is a goat, my God, I'll give you a goat. Or is it a goat? It's what you really want, or is it really something else going on here that's really the undergirding factor that's fueling the way you're acting right now? Oh my God. I done got the big shovel out today. I'm shoveling. Y'all want to have church today? Turn to them and say, we'll run the aisles tonight, but we're going to have a little well, hallelujah this morning. I am transgressed. You've never given me a kid and that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this my son was come, which thou hast devoured by living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Let me preach the end of the message right now. What he was saying was this: I don't love your younger brother more than I love you. And if you've never gotten that in your noggin, if you've never gotten that in your mind or your head or your understanding or your spirit, then today you need the revelation that I don't love your younger brother more than I love you. I love you both equally the same. And my love for you is unconditional. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the unconditional love of our Heavenly Father today. Aren't you thankful that it's not based on whether I'm good or whether I'm bad or whether I do this or whether I do that? But I mean, the bottom line at the end of the day, His love really is unconditional. Come on, somebody. I mean, I'm in the book this morning with regards to the love of God. I'm not afraid to preach about the love of God today. We need to hear it every now and then. And I want to just stand right here before I go any further and tell everybody in this house, whether you're an elder son or whether you're a younger son, or whether you're in the church, or whether you're just visiting and you've been out of the church, God don't love me more than He loves you or anybody else. I'm thankful to stand here today and tell you that the love of our Heavenly Father is as equal, shed abroad in every heart. Every person in this place, equally the same. He don't love anybody more than He loves everybody. Somebody put your hands together and shout, thank God for His love. Come on, somebody thank Him for His love. So give me about 20 minutes and I'm going to preach you a fresh word from heaven this morning. Here it is. The story of the prodigal son is indicative of a spiritual disease that is eating up the mentality of the church. Because we are so involved as a church in dealing, here's the message today, we are so involved as a church in dealing with the obvious sins, everybody say obvious sins, that we never start dealing with the inobvious abstract sins. And whereas we are being perfected in regards to habits and things that we used to do, we aren't doing anymore. And we'll stand in church and we'll pride ourselves and we'll stand up every once in a while and say, thank God I'm not what I used to be. Thank God I don't lie. I don't snort. I don't dip. I don't cuss. I don't drink alcohol. I don't run around on my spouse anymore. I don't do this. And watch this. And we'll stand up and we'll testify about the obvious things that we label as sins, and they are. We're not doing them anymore. But yet, and here's my message today, yet there is still a whole generation of sins that are clustered down in the cracks and crevices of our hearts that go unchecked because nobody deals with, or we'll talk about, the sins of the flesh. We'll deal with the sins of the flesh, the obvious thing. Don't smoke my Lucky Strikes anymore. I'm not a Marlboro man anymore. I'm not a tequila drinker anymore.
We'll talk about the sins of the flesh. I don't commit adultery or fornication anymore. Oh, we'll talk about the sins of the flesh. But nobody deals with the sins of the Spirit today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, it challenges us by saying, oh, I feel my help today, Bishop. It challenges us today by saying this. Having therefore these precious promises, we no doubt have them. What? Promises. He said, let us cleanse ourselves twofold. From what? From the filthiness of the flesh. And the filthiness of the Spirit. We major on the filthiness of the flesh. But do we ever really deal with a filthy spirit? Oh, somebody raise your hands and talk to me, Lord. In other words, He's saying this. Since God has planned to give you so much, since He has promised you so much, He said, having therefore these promises, He says, you're not going to be able to receive the fulfillment of these things that God has promised you. He said, but since God has promised you, He said, you're not going to be able to do it unless you do one of two things or both. You've got to cleanse yourself from the sins and the filthiness of the Spirit and of the flesh. And since He's promised you so much, and He's already told you that what He wants to do in your life and even in this church, then the very least you could do is to prepare your heart and your life so that you are ready to receive what God has for you. Look at somebody and say, God has something for you and me. Come on, say it again. God has something for me. Bible says that very plainly that this certain man had two sons. Here we go. Two sons. And the younger of those sons asked of their father, give me the portion that belongs to me. And this is a very interesting notation of fact, Pastor, that the Bible says that the father divided unto them. The younger asked for it, but the elder didn't, and they both received it. That'll preach all by itself. Interesting. And so he gave them what was rightfully theirs. And the Bible says that this young man, and the fact remains, and we've got to realize this today, that this boy wasn't, somebody said, well, he just wanted to make sure he was living high on the hog. He was already living high on the hog, so to speak. I mean, this younger boy, he was, it is a fact. It is a fact in Scripture. They had hired servants in their house. It is a fact according to the Word of the Lord that it wasn't a matter of rags to riches. It was, they had everything made. He had a silver spoon in his mouth already. It wasn't that he was wanting money just for money's sake. It wasn't that he was wanting to gain wealth because he was a little on the poor side, so to speak. Can I say it just that plain? It wasn't a matter of him just wanting money because he didn't have it. He already had it. And the younger son, stay with me, the younger son, it wasn't that he was just wanting what was already his to begin with. He knew it was coming. What? His portion. He just wanted it prematurely. What does that let us know? May I say it just this plain today? The younger son, this is what he wanted. He wanted control of his destiny. He wanted control. He wanted to say, it's already mine, but I want it now so I can control it and do with it what I want to do. And I know the Bible says, and let me hasten, I know the Bible says that he wasted his substance. In fact, the very word prodigal means wasteful or wasted. And that's what he did. The Bible says he wasted his portion on riotous living. And I know the Bible talks about how that he went out. Can I say it in modern day vernacular? The Bible says that he went out and he come on, let's just be honest. He frequented the harlot scene. Prostitutes. Oh, talk about heaping upon himself the filthiness and the sins of the flesh. Oh, yes, I know he went out and I know that he did wrong. I know that he didn't do everything right. I know. The Bible says, but you know what? I like the young man for one reason. Two or three that I'd like to point out this morning. I like the prodigal. In fact, I'm preaching this morning in defense of the prodigal. There's two or three things that I like about the prodigal. Number one thing I like about the prodigal was what made him very bad made him very good in the fact that whatever he wanted, he went after it. I wish we had more people like that. We've got too many passive Christians today. We've got too many passive Pentecostals today. And we got too many mediocre Pentecostals today living in mediocrity. But I want to tell you, this young man, he went after it. Second thing I like about him was, when there was a famine in the land, he didn't go try to mooch off someone or jump on some welfare program. The Bible says that he attached himself to a citizen of that country far away from where his home was and his house was. And the Bible says that he went and got a job. Come on, somebody. Somebody's praying about what to do. There's some things you don't even need to pray about. Go get a job! The fact of the matter is that some people are lazy and they don't want to work. Not in the church. Especially in the church. God, I got a mix of an evangelist and a pastor spirit on me right now. I'm feeling pastor right now, I guess. I don't know. His spirit. But I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, I like him because he went after what he wanted. He didn't just passively just meet, you know, just kind of, you know, just, well, you know. No, he went after it. He went for it. He says, I want my portion. And then the Bible says he went when there was a famine and then went and got a job. I like that about him. And I know for years, and for the sake of any prodigals that may be in the house, and if you've been labeled a prodigal, I want you to look at this preacher right now. If you're in here today, if someone has called you a prodigal, if you may be that in this place and labeled you that, I stand here in defense of you, so I'm on your side right now. Stay with me. What do you mean you're on my side? Let me tell you what I like about the prodigal. We've heard for years how nasty and vile and filthy he was. I mean, how dare him. He says, I want to do things my way. I'm a Burger King baby. That's one. I want it my way. And he was so bent. We've heard it preached. We've downed him. People and preachers and teachers have talked down and they foul-mouthed him from the pulpits and talked about how bad he was. And he was bad. And he did some bad things. And he was. And somebody needs to turn to your neighbor and say, somebody needs to hear this today. Somebody shout hallelujah. Are y'all with me? Are y'all really with me? Somebody to hear this today. I feel my help right now. Hallelujah. And the Bible does talk about how filthy and vile he was. Talks about all the nasty, filthy, pitiful, my God, things that are so ungodly and so, oh, things, even unnatural things. But wait a minute. I gotta hurry. I want to stand here today and defend him. Somebody ought to be arrested. Somebody ought to be thrown in jail for having messed up the integrity of the Scriptures. I'm not here today to excuse the prodigal and what he did away. I'm not here to tell you that what he did was not wrong, because what he did was very wrong, and it was vile, and it was filthy, and it was nasty, and it was sinful, and it was sins against the flesh, and it was not right, and it was born in disobedience. Yes, it was even born in rebellion, and he was arrogant, and on and on, and he had a haughty spirit, no doubt. Prideful, yes. But I'm here to defend him today. Because here it is. If there's anybody that don't have a right to have a party, if there's anybody that don't have a right to celebrate, it's somebody that has been out there in this old world, whoo, and has made their way back into the house. If there's anybody that has a right, it's somebody that, according to everything else and everybody else, listen, there's no party like a party when somebody comes and they know they don't have a right to be here. I have come, Brother Daniel, to say today that I don't have a right to stand before you preaching today. I don't have a right to lay hands on somebody and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed and be delivered and be set free. I don't have a right to do that. But you know what? It's not about rights. It's not about law. It's about mercy. And it's about grace. And I've come to tell you, there's no party like a Holy Ghost party. There's no party like a party when somebody comes back to the house of God that they know they don't have a right to be there, because they could have been strung out on drugs. They could have died lost with AIDS. They could have had alcohol poisoning. Come on, somebody! They could have died in a car wreck. But he made it back! Someone shout, he made it back! I need 7 people to stand up and shout, the younger son made it back home. Clap your hands and shout, thank God he made it back. Can I say there's the prodigals that are standing on the precipice of coming back home today? Got a question today. You may be seated. I got a question today. How many prodigals? Oh, here we go. How many prodigals are just outside the doors of our churches? Watch me now. Hadn't finished the question yet. How many prodigals are just outside our church house doors, that the only reason they're not coming in, could it be because of the spirit and the attitude of an elder brother? Oh God! It's this elder brother, Bishop Sandy, that I'm concerned about today, that bothers me! Because what is it about the elder brother, the elder son? I'll tell you, let's just list out a few things, and I'm skipping over a lot of things because I'm trying to hurry. But one of the things that stands out to me about the elder son is this. The elder son has been in the house a long time. The elder brother knows church protocol. The elder brother knows who's back to rub. Oh my God, I think I'm going to preach this at a preacher's meeting for long. Hallelujah. The elder brother knows, hallelujah, knows what's back to rub, and knows church protocol, and knows about the top 10s on the gospel chart, and knows the top 10 preachers of all time right now, today. But tomorrow it changes. Hallelujah. But you see, the elder brother has his favorites. The elder brother knows all about, who, I'm going to say it again, knows who to take out to McDonald's. And the elder brother knows who to go visit. And watch this. The elder brother will step over anybody and everybody when it doesn't benefit him in some way or another. Oh, my God, am I preaching right now? Is anybody hearing me right now? The elder brother's attitude is this. You know what? I've been here and I've been in the house a long time and I've got rights. I've got law. I'm tax exempt. I mean, I've got rights because I've been... Now, don't ask me about my attitude. Don't ask me about my spirit. It might be fouled up, but I'm here and I'm in the house and I got rights. And how... Watch me now. How dare anybody that has left this father's house, how dare they prance and waltz back up in here. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, here he goes. Ever seen anybody on a typical Sunday morning or Sunday night that you know has not been in church in a month of Sundays? Weeks on end. A long time. Ever seen him come in? And watch this. It's always the one or two weirdos in the church. I'm in defense of the weirdo today. Watch me now. You're laughing. But there's one or two that goes up to it. It's always the one or two that's always shouting and dancing and praising God. Hallelujah. And it's them one or two that always goes up to them and they lay their hands on them and they start praying for them and say, oh God, thank you, Lord, that they're back home. My God, thank you that they made it back. Thank you, Lord. God, renew them and revive them and restore them, God. Start praying a prayer of restoration. And all of a sudden, their hands go up and all of a sudden, come here, stand up, man. All of a raise your hands. Hallelujah. You've been a backslidden outfit. You've been out there in the world doing things. And all kind of crazy things, but you coming in, there ain't nothing. Come here, Brother Daniel. Lay hands on him right there. And there ain't no party. There ain't no excitement like one or two or three people coming up and start praying for him. And I'm going to tell you, it's still the greatest scene in all the world. I'd love for it to happen before we leave this Sunday morning service. I'd love for it to happen all over again tonight and Tuesday night. I'd love for what to happen. For somebody to pray back through the victory in Jesus. Jesus, there's nothing like it. Does anybody still get excited about people coming to the Lord? Is there anybody in this church house today that still gets excited about people praying back through and praying through to the Holy Ghost? Lay your hands on Him, brother. Daniel, raise your hands again, man. Lay your hands on him. And he starts weeping. And he starts, my God, and starts shaking. And starts praying. And just all of a sudden, stammering lips. And all of a sudden, that Holy Ghost comes on him, Brother Sandy. That Holy Ghost church comes on him. And all of a sudden, they start leaping for joy. And all of a sudden, it's just wonderful. It's grand. It's great. There's nothing like it. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's what this house is really all about. Come on, somebody! I said that's what this house is really all about! It's not meant to be a house full of attitudes! You may be seated, thank you. But all the while this is going on over here, here's what I wanted to say. Here's what I really wanted to say. What I really wanted to say was, this is grand and grandeur, wonderful and marvelous, excellent, holy and righteous, mercy and grace. It is while this is going on. But have you ever noticed on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a midweek service or a revival service that all the while this is going on, you ever notice someone? And here's my problem. I wouldn't be preaching this today if I don't travel all over the country. What does that mean, preacher? Because I'm seeing a progression of this more and more and more and more. And I tell you what, it's my job and assignment from heaven till the day they lay me in a casket right there. It is my assignment to my dying day, to my last breath, to proclaim and declare and decree the whole counsel of God. And this is the reason why I believe we're not having any more revivals than what we're having. And we've got too many mediocre Christians and too many passive apostolics, and there's no life of the Spirit. Why? Because all the while that over there, raise your hand, son. Raise your hand again. All the while that's going on over there, have you ever noticed somewhere else in the church somebody's sitting with their legs crossed and their hands crossed and their lips pursed and they got this look on their face like, how dare they? Was it something I said? Sister Sandy. Well, look, Sister so-and-so's going up to her praying where she ain't never prayed for me. You noticed about a half a second it was tender, but it went back to you feel me? As the young people say, you feel me? Tell you what it is. I've used the word 3 or 4 times already this morning, but let me truly define that word, and this is the word that I have used. Attitude. Here's the true definition of what I'm really trying to talk about. Could it be the reason maybe our churches are not experiencing any more revival than what we're having is because the spirit of the elder brother is ripping us and preventing us. And what is that spirit? It's a spirit of jealousy. I'm going to say it again. It is a jealous spirit. It's a spirit that wants to keep score with watch me now, with everybody and everything that takes place in the church. And the devil has propped up on your perched on your shoulders, whispering in your ears, why you don't have to do all of that. You don't have to be all that. You've been in the church for 50 years. You've been in the church for 26 and a half years. And you've got rights here. This is your pew. You put enough money in this church. You've paid enough time. Y'all baked enough, bro. We've baked enough cakes, and we've given enough this, and we've donated this, and we bought this pew, and we bought that altar, and this is my church. I'm going to tell you what, this is not your church, this is not your house, this is not my church, this is not my house. I want to remind us today, this is God's house, this is His house, this is His living room, this is His sanctuary. Woo! Hallelujah! This is where He dwells. This is our meeting place. But this house belongs to the Lord. And hear me further. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? I'm not my own. Turn to your neighbor and say, you belong to the Lord. Somebody clap your hands and love Him just for a moment here right now. Hallelujah. Come on, you can do better than that. Somebody clap your hands and love Him. Somebody just yell it out. Speak it out. Say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me right now, Lord. Speak to me. I don't understand. Sister Sandy. I don't understand the church. And some people can see someone that's up at the altar fighting for their life. A prodigal son. A prodigal daughter. And you're self-deceived into thinking here it is. No, the elder son may not commit the sins of the flesh that his younger brother was a-doing. May hadn't have done it. No. Filthy sins. Filthy flesh. No, maybe he didn't give over. But here's my message today. The prodigal son's brother, the elder son, had a filthy spirit. Am I preaching this morning? Brother saying he had a filthy spirit. So what do we do with a filthy spirit? It's in the house. It's in the church. I mean, I've seen people, I don't mean to be belligerent, I don't mean to be unkind, but I've seen your family members. I've seen our family members that they come back and watch this. I'm going to say it. Could it be possible? Could it be possible that one person could be single-handedly responsible for someone's soul going to a damnable hell? Why? Because they was afraid that someone was getting more attention than they were getting in the house. Somebody close your eyes and help me pray. Somebody help me pray. I think I'm going to just dig a little bit deeper just for a moment. Just keep praying. I think what the deal is or was and is with the elder son was he had a boiling, fuming, raging battle that was silently going over on the inside of him. Yes, you're Pentecostal and you look the part. You know when to shake hands. You know when to smile. You know the right things to say. You know just what to do. And then when, as soon as you get in your truck or your car, all of a sudden, it switches. What switches? You just kind of get this sigh of, I wished I could have been the one that was touched today. I wished I could have been the one that was changed today. It sure looked like their mind was renewed, but I didn't go up and help pray for them. But Lord, you know I've been here all the while. Yes. Could it be possible that some people are in the church long enough to get such a bad attitude that they forget what God initially did for them? You know what? I'll tell you what the father did with his elder son. He looked at him that day when he was kind of throwing a little bit of a fit and it come to an apex. It come to a point, come to a head, and something had to be dealt with, something had to be said. And the father looked at him and he says, I want to tell you something. I don't love your younger brother more than I love you. I've never loved him more than if you would have went out and done the things that he's done. But here's the deal. I don't want to just be cleansed in the flesh. I want to be cleansed in the spirit. And the way you're going to be cleansed in the spirit is the same way he's cleansed by the sins of the filthiness of the flesh. And that is this, knowing that my love is unconditional and my love for you is eternal. And I've come today to tell somebody in this house, would you please for the sake of your own salvation, would you please for the sake of your family member that's lost, would you please forever on the behalf and defense of every backslider that has ever left the house, would you please allow yourself to realize afresh and anew that God, our Heavenly Father, loves you and He always has. All you need is a fresh revelation and a fresh experience of His love today, because He's here and He's wanting to heal and He's wanting to mend and He's wanting to reach in every crevice and crack of your mind and heal you today of everything that is causing personal anguish in your spirit. God, cleanse us of the filthiness of the spirit. Cleanse us today. Somebody help me pray. Somebody help me pray. Somebody close your eyes and realize that, you know what? Just because you're Pentecostal don't mean that you have to be hypocritical and pretend that you're happy all the time. I am preaching today that you can rediscover. I'm going to preach it now again. You can rediscover the joy of the Lord. You can rediscover the peace of God in your mind. It's not the will of God for you to always be on the verge of a nervous breakdown. It's not the will of God for you to be hooked on Prozac. I want us to stand all over this house. Let's lift our hands. Someone be sensitive to the Lord right now. God's wanting to speak the more so to His people. Come on, somebody raise your hands and love Him. Very quietly, brother, very quietly. Just for a moment, very quietly. God wants to speak, I believe. Let's just raise our hands and wait on the Lord just a moment more. Come on. All over this house. God's pleased with our waiting on Him. Somebody pray. Come on, somebody talk to the Lord right now. All over this. All over this house. All over this house. All over this house. Halabohoshatayalama. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want you to take somebody by the hand. This is what I want you to do. I want you to take somebody by the hand. And I want you to say, would you come? Would you just come? Make a few steps with me to the front of the house of God. Whether you're a prodigal today, whether you're
younger son, or whether you're an elder son, an older brother today, from our Scriptures we draw, whatever case it may be, I want you to take somebody by the hand. Come on. Who will come? Who will come? I'm talking to Pentecostals. I'm talking to apostolics today. I'm preaching to people of God today. I'm preaching to human beings today. If you're a human being, take somebody by the hand and begin to pray with them right now and say, come on, come on, come on, come on. Jesus loves all of us just as equally the same. Come on. When you get a fresh revelation of that, you the stress level will alleviate from you. Come on. You'll realize today, when you realize God loves me just as much as He's ever loved me, just as much as He's ever loved anybody, anywhere, at any time. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Come on. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter whether anybody else loves me. It doesn't matter whether I've been rejected by others, or whether I've been abandoned by this one or that one or the other. Oh, I know there's been people hurt, people rejected, and people feel real feelings of abandonment. If you've ever felt abandoned, and if you've ever felt rejected, it's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointing is coming my way. It's a new season. Come on, somebody. There ought to be some repentance from every one of us today. I said every one of us today. God, forgive me if I've thought about the church wrong. Forgive me if I've thought about your salvation in a wrong way. Forgive me if I've prevented someone from coming to know you, Lord. I don't want to be responsible for somebody remaining lost. I don't want to be personally responsible as a hindrance to somebody coming back to the house of the Lord. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Get that in your spirit today. Cleanse us of the sins of the flesh. But oh God, the more so, cleanse us of the sins and the filthiness of the spirit, so we may receive those precious promises. There's nothing stopping me now. Come on, there's nothing stopping you now. Jealousy do us in. Come on back home.
get it. We get it. We get it. Jesus loves us.